You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, it is that time. Time for another episode of Locked On Kings.
The Sacramento Kings losing streak has now reached 8 straight games. They fell to the Brooklyn Nets last night, 127-118, and overall, I'm not mad at it. Not just because the Kings continue to put themselves in a better position with higher odds at a top draft pick, but also because we saw the continued success of rookie Tyrese Haliburton. Look, we know that Haliburton and De'Aaron Fox, they are the future backcourt for the Sacramento Kings team. The only reason why Tyrese isn't starting at this point is one, he's important to the bench unit, and two, Buddy Hield, trade value purposes, he's just keeping that seat warm. And I tweeted out after the game that it might be the biggest win of the season for the Kings to find a trade partner who will take on Buddy Hield and his contract before this trade deadline. Now, I'm not just talking a salary dump. I'll elaborate more on that later on in the podcast. I do also want to talk about De'Aaron Fox not being an all-star snub. I know some Kings fans were disappointed to see him not named to the all-star team, but look, based off of the players that were really snubbed, Fox is not a snub. I'll tell you why. And apparently, the Los Angeles Lakers are rumored to be interested in Hassan Whiteside. They need some big man depth with Anthony Davis dealing with injuries. What could the Kings get back from the Lakers for Whiteside? And how can they use the Lakers' position of need to get maximum value? We're discussing it all on today's episode of the Locked On Kings podcast. Hello and welcome into Locked On Kings, your podcast hub for Sacramento Kings coverage all regular season and all offseason. If you're looking for in-depth analysis, game-by-game breakdowns, highlights, interviews with local and national experts, full coverage of the Sacramento Kings from January through December, this is the place for you, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Matt George. I have the privilege of being your host here. I've been a Sacramento sports radio host for the last 6 years. This is season number 7 for me, covering the Kings both as an on-air host and a multimedia journalist. And today's episode of the Locked On Kings podcast is brought to you by Michelob Ultra. Are you happy because you win, or do you win because you're happy? Only 2.6 carbs and 95 calories. It's only worth it if you enjoy it. Stay tuned for the Ultra Player of the Week coming up later in the episode. Raise your hand if you were surprised by the Kings losing to the Nets in Brooklyn, even though they were without Kevin Durant. All your hands should be down. There's no one that should be surprised by this. However, it's okay to expect the Kings to put up a good fight. And you know what? They did. They got their starting lineup back. It was great to see Harrison Barnes back out there. He looked pretty solid. Rashawn Holmes did tweak his ankle at one point in this game, so I'm really hoping we don't hear any information today or throughout this week that that ankle issue turns out to be something bigger, especially with him just coming back from injury. He was able to keep playing on. It didn't look like it was bothering him too much, but it still did look like a pretty nasty tweak that he suffered in the third quarter. But the Kings starting five was back out there, and despite the fact that they gave up 42 points in the first quarter, I thought Sacramento did a great job putting up a fight. They closed that gap really quickly in the second quarter, and the final score is a little bit misleading. I'm glad the Kings lost by single digits, because this game was within 2, 3, 4 points midway through the fourth, but shots stopped falling for the Kings, they kept falling for the Brooklyn Nets, and the rest is history. Truthfully, there's only two things from this game that I'm really disappointed with. One, it's that the Kings continued their trend of allowing way too many points. They gave up 127. And two, it's that they gave up 29 points to Bruce Brown Jr. Now, no disrespect to Bruce Brown Jr. He's in the NBA for a reason. But I expect Kyrie and James Harden to go off. I expect them to have big nights. I even expect Joe Harris to have his way from three-point range. The Kings need to do a better job of not allowing themselves to get killed by other pieces, by the Bruce Brown Juniors of the NBA, who come into games and play with confidence because they know they're facing a Sacramento Kings defense. I'm okay losing to Kyrie, to Joe Harris, and to James Harden. I'm not okay with 29 points for Bruce Brown Jr., which, by the way, is a career high for him, and it continues a trend. Kind of a joke that we have amongst Sacramento media members is far too often the Kings will give up career nights to those WHO players. And what I mean by that is when you say their name, people go, "WHO? Never heard of him." But he always seems to get a career high against the Sacramento Kings. It's not just been this season. It's not just been the last couple of years. This has been something that's been going on for at least the last decade. But again, I'm in a better mood than I would expect to be talking about a team that has lost 8 straight games. And a lot of that has to do with the play of Tyrese Halliburton last night. 23 points, 9 assists, 5 rebounds, also 3 steals and a couple blocks in 39 minutes. Nearly played 40 minutes last night. The last couple of games for Tyrese have been really solid. Good to see him get back to his successful stat-stuffing ways after the couple weeks of not necessarily struggle, but quiet that we've seen out of him. He wasn't as impactful over the last couple of weeks as we know he can be. Now he's getting back to that, and it just reaffirms the fact that he and Fox are the backcourt of the future. They spent a lot of time playing together last night. For the most part, it was looking great. De'Aaron Fox finished with 27 points, including 5 three-pointers, also had 8 assists in 37 minutes. And then you look at Buddy Hield, who unfortunately has just become the odd man out. 11 points on 3 of 9 shooting, only took 6 three-pointers, made 3 of them. And I say only, 6 is low for Buddy Hield in the game. He did pull down 5 rebounds, also had 4 assists, so he was continuing his trend this season of being effective outside of just shooting the basketball. But when you see Fox and Tyrese Halliburton playing together, especially when Buddy Hield's on the floor with them, or when you see Buddy Hield just sharing the floor with one of those two, it's abundantly clear who the odd man out is. This is Fox and Halliburton's team going forward. And I'm sorry to say that I don't see how Buddy Hield fits in. Unless it's as a sixth man scoring threat, to which he is way too overpaid to be. And I'm convinced in that scenario, Monty McNair would much rather get his money off the books than try and make him work in that role. Buddy Hield is a placeholder. It's my opinion that the only reason why he is starting over Tyrese Halliburton is to try to keep his trade value as high as possible so Monty McNair can maximize his value either at this trade deadline or next offseason. It's not so much that there are concerns of him becoming disgruntled if he's moved out of the starting lineup and replaced by a rookie. And truthfully, even though Luke Walton uses it as an excuse, it has little to nothing to do with the second unit, with the bench. I know Tyrese Halliburton is effective and is the captain of that second unit. And I'm also aware that being a starter is more of a title than anything else. Finishing the game is far more important, and Tyrese Halliburton is always on the floor with De'Aaron Fox and frequently Buddy Hield at the end of games. That being said, everybody who watches a second of Sacramento Kings basketball knows that Fox and Halliburton are that future backcourt. And in the past, while I'd be willing to listen to an argument of the Kings putting together a small lineup, maybe moving Buddy to the 3 or playing Tyrese Halliburton at the 3 so Buddy could continue playing at the 2, similar to what the Kings do in that closing lineup that's been so successful, with Buddy Hield's defensive inefficiencies and his inconsistencies of shooting the basketball this year, to me, it just doesn't work. I think it is fair to say at this point that a Buddy Hield, De'Aaron Fox backcourt just doesn't work. There's little to no defense, and unless Buddy Hield is hitting on his outside shot, there are significantly better options out there. Tyrese has been just as effective spacing the floor, and I appreciate that Buddy Hield does have the reputation of being such an elite shooter that you have to respect him, which gives De'Aaron and the rest of the offense more space, but Tyrese and his three-point shot are quickly earning that same respect. Tyrese is a smarter basketball player, he's a much better all-around basketball player, and he can play defense. It's a foregone conclusion. Tyrese Halliburton, De'Aaron Fox, they're the starting backcourt. Buddy Hield's on the outs. And this is not intended to be a dunk on Buddy Hield fest, because you've heard me plenty of times this season defending Buddy Hield and praising Buddy Hield for the growth that he's shown outside of shooting the basketball. I think he's done a tremendous job putting in the effort and showing that he is more than just a shooter. He is not just a one-trick pony. He can still get a lot better, but he's shown that this season, and I appreciate that. But the Kings are on a different timeline. And I really think it would be doing Buddy Hield a favor to trade him away and put him on a team, a playoff team, that could genuinely use his skills, whether it's as a starter or off the bench. To me, there's no reason to pretend that Buddy Hield is part of this core. Adrian Wojnarowski tweeted out during the Bogdan Bogdanovic free agency saga this offseason that Buddy Hield was part of the core. I was skeptical that that was the case to begin with, but if it was, it's certainly changed now. Buddy Hield is not part of this Kings core. So, it is my opinion that Monty McNair and the Kings would benefit most from trading away Buddy Hield either before or on this summer's draft night. But Buddy's contract alone is going to make it difficult for Monty McNair to maximize that value. To me, the best chance McNair has at maximizing it is using this perceived market to his advantage. The idea that there are a ton of buyers and so few sellers to where Monty McNair can try and squeeze every penny of value out of Buddy he can. I am certainly not suggesting a salary dump. I would much rather the Kings hold on to Buddy Hield and his contract and either get him to accept or, quite frankly, force him to play a sixth man off-the-bench scorer role. I would much prefer that for the next season or two than to completely get rid of Buddy Hield for nothing. Buddy Hield does have value. Even in this down season, I will refuse to think anything else. I know Buddy has value in the modern NBA. Unfortunately, his contract is what works against the Kings here. Sacramento needs to aggressively shop Buddy Hield at this trade deadline. Target teams who are in need of shooting, who are also pushing for a deep playoff run, an NBA Finals appearance, or even fringe playoff teams who are looking to solidify their roster heading into a play-in tournament. Target those teams, and there are plenty out there. Find a way to get them to accept Buddy Hield. You can take on dead money contracts that expire at the end of the year to make the money work. Make sure you're also acquiring assets like a mid to late first round pick and or a solid young player. Maximize the value and the market right now. That's what I believe Monty McNair will do. I believe Buddy Hield will not be a Sacramento King by March 25th. It is time for the Ultra Player of the Week, presented by Michelob Ultra. The delicious adult seltzer, 2.6 carbs and 95 calories. And like basketball, with Michelob Ultra, enjoyment isn't just the end game, it's the whole game. This week's Michelob Ultra Player of the Week goes to Daquan Jeffries. Now, I know he didn't have the best of games last night, only 5 points, a block, and a couple of rebounds in 15 minutes in the loss to the Brooklyn Nets. But before that, 18 points, 6 rebounds, a couple of assists, a block, and a steal against Milwaukee. Only a couple nights earlier, 17 points, including 5 of 5 from 3-point range. It's great to see Daquan Jeffries battling back from injuries, getting back to the solid play that earned him a contract back in the Orlando bubble. When you watch him play, 3 words come to mind: joy, happiness, and enjoyment. And the joy that he plays with creates success, like Michelob Ultra. Are you happy because you win, or do you win because you're happy? I hate to break it to you if you didn't already know, but not only is De'Aaron Fox not an all-star this year, to me, he's not an all-star snub either. We knew he wasn't going to be an all-star starter. That's just a popularity contest voted on by fans, which I think is absolutely stupid. We know he had no chance there. But we thought maybe he would have a chance based off of the coach poll with the reserves that are selected by the coaches. Now, it's important to note that NBA head coaches are not allowed to vote for players on their own team. So Luke Walton, as much as he was campaigning for De'Aaron Fox, could not vote for De'Aaron Fox to be named to the All-Star team. And in the end, Fox wasn't. The West reserves: Chris Paul, Paul George, Damian Lillard, Donovan Mitchell, Rudy Gobert, Zion Williamson, and Anthony Davis. The East reserves: James Harden, Julius Randle, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Zach LaVine, Ben Simmons, and Nikola Vucevic. As good as Fox has been this season, in stretches, and it's important that I say in stretches because with the exception of last night's game, during this 8-game losing streak, Fox hasn't been very good. And honestly, it's this 8-game losing streak, well then 7-game losing streak before these reserves were announced, that killed Fox's chances completely. They were already pretty slim based off of the amount of talent that's in the Western Conference. And there are 2 names in the West that were massive snubs in my opinion. Fox isn't one of them. As good as he was playing, earning that NBA Player of the Week recognition, the team completely falling apart, that made his chances at an All-Star game basically impossible. And I'm sure De'Aaron is disappointed to not get the recognition, but at the same time, I don't think he minds too much that he will not be participating in the festivities in Atlanta, based off of some of his earlier comments about the All-Star game this season. But there are two major snubs in the Western Conference to me. The first, very similar to Mike Bibby, who was never named to the All-Star team despite deserving to be there multiple seasons in a row back in his time with the Sacramento Kings. I'm talking about Mike Conley, who has emerged as, once again, a very, very solid point guard option. He is having an incredible season for the Utah Jazz, who, of course, are playing out of their mind right now. First place in the Western Conference, the best team in basketball record-wise. Mike Conley couldn't get in. Now his two teammates, Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert, both did get in. But I am shocked to see Devin Booker snubbed from the All-Star game. His teammate Chris Paul got in, and I understand CP3 has been a superstar point guard for basically his entire career. But with how good of a season the Phoenix Suns are having, including Devin Booker, who's shooting around 50% from the field, to me it's wrong that Booker is held out of this game. He might still get in, as Anthony Davis, with his injuries, will most likely be replaced. So I believe Devin Booker will take his spot if it becomes open. But with both Devin Booker and Mike Conley not getting in, there was no way Fox was going to. And I think we've known that for the last couple of weeks. Now, I said going into this season that I thought the next step, the next leap and evolution of De'Aaron Fox's career was to be that All-Star or All-Star snub. But the fact that he is not a snub based off these circumstances to me doesn't make this season a failure. He has shown that star leap that I expected of him, especially during that stretch where the Kings won 7 out of 8 games. And he's shown flashes of it outside of that stretch, even when the Kings were consistently losing. He showed a bit of it last night in Brooklyn. But we still do need to see more of it. And it doesn't necessarily have to be superstar closer De'Aaron Fox in the fourth quarter. It can just be the continued aggressive scoring at will Fox that we are now expecting on a nightly basis, while also continuing to be that leader, that distributor, and building his chemistry mainly with Tyrese Halliburton and Marvin Bagley. So I wanted to make that clear. My goal for De'Aaron Fox this year was to be an All-Star or an All-Star snub. He is neither, but that does not mean he has failed in my eyes. He has still made that leap. I'm still very fired up with what the Kings have. I know it's difficult for some Kings fans to see another younger player, Zion Williamson, get in before Fox. And I hope if that bothers Fox, he uses that as motivation. It will not be long before Fox is representing the Sacramento Kings in the All-Star game. I firmly believe that. But winning speaks volumes. And of course, right now, the Sacramento Kings, they might have forgotten what winning looks like. Today's episode of the Locked On Kings podcast is brought to you by Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar ever. The improved Built Bar is even more delicious. They have 18 amazing flavors like caramel brownie, cookies and cream, which is my wife's favorite, carrot cake, my favorite is mint brownie, salted caramel, double chocolate, and more. The bars are covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft and they're easy to chew. And on top of being delicious, they literally taste like candy bars. These bars are healthy for you. It's great for the health conscious guy or girl. You can lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. The bars are low calorie and low sugar, but they're high protein and high fiber. They're also great for the keto diet. I mentioned the cookies and cream bar is my wife's favorite. It's because it has 17 grams of protein, only 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 4 grams of net carbs, and it is delicious. It tastes directly as advertised. Go to BuiltBar.com, use promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, all one word. You'll get 20% off of your next order. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. Let the trade rumors begin, and it's a small rumor, nothing major, but apparently there is rumored interest in Hassan Whiteside from the Los Angeles Lakers. Now, they are looking for a big man to bolster their front court as they are dealing with injuries to Anthony Davis. I, for one, believe the Lakers will be just fine. Also, Marc Gasol hasn't worked out quite as well in LA as I think they hoped for. But look, the Lakers, in my opinion, they're going to be okay. But they do feel that they need some rim protection, especially when they're looking at some of the matchups in both the West and potentially Eastern Conference in the NBA Finals that they're going to face in their road to 2 straight titles. So Hassan Whiteside does have value, and it was believed really since the time that the Kings signed Hassan Whiteside that there would be potential interest in him around the trade deadline. So, like we talked about with Buddy Hield, like we've talked about with Harrison Barnes, can the Kings maximize being a seller in a buyer's market to get the most out of Hassan Whiteside? Now, he is on a league minimum deal, $1.62 million he's owed this year. He becomes an unrestricted free agent at the end of the year. So typically, teams aren't going to give up a lot for that. However, in this situation, the Sacramento Kings would be trading with a team who is in need, and they need Hassan Whiteside. The Kings don't need to move on from Hassan. There's no urgency from Sacramento's perspective. There is urgency from LA's perspective. That is a position, potentially, for Monty McNair to exploit to get maximum value. Looking at the players and how the salaries would have to match up, these are the players that could be traded to Sacramento for Hassan Whiteside straight up. Alex Caruso, which in my opinion is not going to happen. The Lakers value him too much. Mark Gasol, also not going to happen. Also, he has another year left on his deal. Alphonso McKinney, potentially, except McKinney has 2 years left on his deal after this season. Markieff Morris, who expires at the end of the season. Or Jared Dudley, who also expires at the end of the season. Out of those five names, the most likely I could see coming to Sacramento, Jared Dudley. And that's not that the Kings really want Dudley or that Dudley could monumentally help the Kings for the remainder of the season. He probably wouldn't even play. The Kings might even just cut him outright. But that, to me, would make the most sense in this scenario. Now, the Kings aren't just going to trade Hassan Whiteside to the Lakers for a player that matches salaries that they're just going to cut. That's just giving him away for nothing, basically. So I would expect Monty McNair to try and use the Lakers' desire to fill a position of need by asking for draft compensation. I could see the Kings finding a way to also get a second-round pick attached to Jared Dudley in a package back. And to me, that's maximizing Hassan Whiteside's value. You can't expect more out of that. I mean, maybe best case scenario is a couple of second-rounders, but it's very unlikely you're going to get that. I am A-okay with the Kings trading Hassan Whiteside to the Lakers. Yes, I know it's the Kings helping the Lakers potentially. I'm over that. I'm A-okay with the Kings trading Whiteside to the Lakers, getting a veteran player like Dudley back with a second-round pick or two attached. That's a win for the Kings in my mind. But what about you? Would you do that deal? Is that enough for Hassan Whiteside? Do you even want to think about helping the Lakers by giving them Hassan Whiteside and helping them fill a hole or fill a position of need? Let me know at Matt George Radio on Twitter. You can also email me, mgeorge@saclocalmedia.com. I also want to hear your thoughts on starting Tyrese Haliburton over Buddy Hield, whether or not the Kings should trade for Buddy Hield right now or still try to find a way to make it work, and your thoughts on De'Aaron Fox not being named to the All-Star team. Do you feel it was a snub, or do you agree with me that, especially based off of this 8-game losing streak, Fox never really had a chance? Again, at Matt George Radio on Twitter, or email me, mgeorge@saclocalmedia.com. The Kings have the day off today. They're back in action tomorrow in New York against the Knicks. Then they wrap up the road trip on Friday against the Pistons. Depending upon when you're listening to this, later on this afternoon, the second half of the season schedule will be released. So we will talk about that in detail on tomorrow's Locked On Kings podcast. Also, I'm sure I'll be sharing my opinions on that on my Twitter account at Matt George Radio if you want to read that and interact with that. But as for today's Locked On Kings podcast, we are done. Thank you so much for listening. If you wouldn't mind leaving a review for this podcast, if you haven't already, best place to do that is on Apple Podcasts or iTunes. Hit 5 stars, leave a little blurb about why you like the Locked On Kings podcast, any thoughts or comments, maybe even constructive criticisms that you have for the Locked On Kings podcast. We read them. Everything is fair game. Please do that. It helps us out a ton. And of course, keep listening to Locked On Kings. We'll have more great content for you going forward. Check out the rest of the Locked On Podcast Network, our local and national shows for multiple leagues, multiple sports. We have you covered for all your sports podcasting needs. And stay safe, stay healthy, and I can't wait to talk to you next time. Until then, my name is Matt George. You have been listening to the Locked On Kings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.